Before I start, there was one announcement that we failed to make that was very important. We had a family that the mother works with me at the school there at Westwood, and they had one of those sudden changes that occurs in life sometimes, and it just happened this week, and it's affecting, possibly the loss of both vehicles and their home. And they're having to move their children to another school. And so it's a tough time of the year to have something like that happen to you. And so I did have it approved by the elders for our congregation to be able to possibly help this family at a time of their need. And so if you would, at the end of the service, I'll kind of hang in the foyer there for a moment. And if you would like to help this family, I'll give you some names and we'll be able to maybe help them out at a time where they're really in need. I know sometimes in the world that we live in, we're always looking for mission fields, and we're looking afar, and so many times, that mission work can be done right here at home for people that are in need. And I know we're at a time in our country where I see more people in our area that have definite needs than maybe I've ever seen at any time in my life. And so if you would, at the end of the service, please think about it, and if you can help out, see me, and we'll try to help them out. I know Dan is feeling ill today, and I know at a couple of moments I kind of felt a little bit ill myself. I know I'm somewhat out of my comfort zone. I had just grown accustomed to working with the morning class, and I kind of got to where I was okay with that. And then about 9:30 last night, I came in, and Dina told me Dan had called, and that there was a need for some help, immediately I was kind of out of my comfort zone, and I thought, okay, we'll do this. And so I began some preparation for that. The thing that I feel unusual about is, you prepare one lesson and that keeps coming into your mind, and you're going to be talking about something else. So I certainly have a better understanding of what the preacher goes through on, Sunday morning and Sunday evening and through the week with the constant preparation. So anyway, bear with me. And I know I'm out of my comfort zone right now, and by the time I finish, you may be out of yours. And so, we'll work through this together as best that we can. The topic that I want to talk to you about today, in fact, we're all going to be bringing a lesson to you in regards to God's wonderful grace. And I know that it's something that is important to each and every one of us, because no matter how strong our faith is, and no matter how much work that we do, we can't accomplish our goal to someday go to heaven without the grace of God. And so this should be something that is near and dear to each of our hearts. And I know sometimes we flippantly refer to the grace of God, and we don't really stop and think about the awesome power of the grace of God. This is something that is beyond our reach. It's beyond our imagination, even. To have someone that cares and loves us so dearly, to be able to forgive us for the things that we sometimes do. And so as we go through that lesson today, I hope that each of you will certainly take a moment and reflect upon the wonderful grace of God. I know that grace is derived from the Greek word cherish, and I know that in the New Testament there were writers that used cherish to describe the kindness by which God gives favor to those that really don't deserve it. And he grants sinners pardons of their sins and their offenses. And I know that He also gives man the opportunity for salvation through Christ. And as we live our life, I think that we have to continually understand that we can't do this alone. It's impossible for us to be successful in accomplishing our goal without the grace of God. And so as we go through the lesson today, you know, let's certainly reflect upon that and understand that it is one of the most powerful aspects of our Christian faith. When we look at the concept of grace, I think that, you know, so many times, you know, we think about, you know, what can we do to affect this? Well, there are things that we can do. And I think one of the most important things that we can do as a Christian is to humble ourselves. You know, there's a great plan for each and every one of us. And I think that, you know, too many times we attempt to go it alone. We attempt to just make it happen. Have you ever heard the statement of the self-made man? Well, there's not a lot of truth to that. There's really not a lot of truth to that. Because what we really see is that God has blessed that person. You know, it's, you know, through the blessings of God that a man can rise in this world with material blessings. And I think so many times, you know, we need to reflect upon that and we need to understand that, you know, all those good things that we have come from God. And all the things that are going to be important to us at the end of this life, at that moment of truth, on that judgment day, are going to be related to grace, that wonderful grace of God. Here are a few biblical facts regarding God's grace. The gospel is a result of God's grace. That's found in Galatians 1, 6 through 9. Grace is presented as sufficient, and Christians are called by grace. 2 Corinthians 12, verses 7 through 10, and Galatians 1, verse 15. Man is saved by grace. The heart is established by grace. We are justified by grace. Ephesians 2, verses 5 and 8, Hebrews 13, verse 9, and Titus 3, 7. Many times we render acceptable service only by the grace of God. And grace imparts everlasting consolation. Hebrews 12, verse 28-29. Thessalonians 2, verse 16. God's grace also makes us better people. You know, too many times we think that we can live that good Christian life and we can achieve salvation. And that's not really in the plan. The plan is we gain salvation by the grace of God. Many times, grace helps us in our times of need. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 9 and 10. Hebrews 4, verse 16. We need to take just a moment and look at some of the recipients of God's grace. And that's something that each and every one of us share, is the fact that someday we would like to be a recipient. At that moment of truth, that's going to be real important to us, to be a recipient of the grace of God. The thing that we have to understand is that as we live this life on earth, we have the Holy Spirit that works in our life. And through that Holy Spirit working in our life, we can better understand the grace of God is with us. Noah, as an example, found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Genesis 6, verse 8. The lowly are favored with grace. Proverbs 3, verse 34. Jesus and Paul were both examples of individuals that experience God's grace. In Luke 2:40 and 1 Corinthians 15:10. So we can see that those before us have experienced God's grace. Also, all who love the Lord have God's grace bestowed upon them. Ephesians 6:24. A study of those who enjoyed God's grace consistently reveals a certain type of person. That person is humble. That person is obedient. The person is trusting. That person is submissive to the requirements made by God. And most importantly, that person is faithful to the end. One of the things that we have to all keep in mind is that as we go through this life, we can't go alone. We have to walk with our Lord, and we have to understand that it is through His grace that we will someday gain salvation. As I conclude my portion of the lesson, I would like to read Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life. And only a few find it. At this time, Adam will come forward and share his portion of the lesson.
I'm going to be talking about the origins of grace. Where it comes from, and just to kind of go back a little bit and talk about the recipient of grace, and give an example of our congregation here today. Just last week, Philip was awaiting test results, and he was awaiting some test results, and he asked the church for the prayers of the results of that test, that we might pray for him, and we did pray for him, and I believe his test results came back 100% negative, which is great. But that's the grace of God in action. And we can receive that grace. Philip receives that grace through that blessing. And we can see that grace works within us each and every day. And God graces our lives. So it's a beautiful thing to see that God's grace is in us and it works in our lives each and every day. So to see that, we see, Diane's father, he received great news from his physician. He saw a favor in his test results. And, we see those things. And sometimes physicians will say, well, that's just the luck of the draw. Some people get it. Some people don't. Sometimes people will say, well, that just is the way it is and, this and that. But I believe that is the grace of God. And I know y'all believe that as well, that is the grace of God. That is God working in our lives each and every day, because God does favor those that work in His favor. We talk about grace and defining grace, and grace can be defined as God's unmerited favor. It's not something we can do to earn the grace of God. If we felt like we were entitled to the grace of God, we would be lost, because we're not entitled. The grace is a free gift that God gives to us. One of the things that I came across as I was studying was an acronym of GRACE. And it kind of helps kind of put in place the real definition and origins of grace, and that is the acronym would be God's riches at Christ's expense. And that kind of defines what grace really is to us. It's God's riches at Christ's expense. Christ gave and died for us that we would receive the grace from God. You know, grace is especially associated with Jesus in the New Testament. If we see in John 1:17, for the law was given through Moses and grace through Jesus Christ. So the law was given through Moses and grace was given through Jesus Christ. I'll tell you this as well, just as a movie tip. Diane and I went to see Exodus last night. It was a great movie. But as Diane said, the book was a whole lot better. Because it wasn't really biblical. It was a great movie. It's kind of like Noah, if you saw Noah. It was a great movie. It was a good, fun movie. But I don't know where they got a lot of the biblical facts that was out in the movie Exodus. I don't know if any of y'all saw it yesterday. But I was kind of lost. And I've read the book of Exodus. And I wasn't 100% sure where they were getting some of this stuff. Maybe they were reading in between the lines. And I was missing some stuff. But it was a good movie. But it wasn't necessarily biblical. If we go back into our lesson, James exclaimed in James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. So we can understand that all these gifts that we receive, all this grace that we receive is from Christ. But it requires us to do one thing. You know, it's not the fact we earn grace, but it does require that we do one thing, and that one thing is to walk in faith. You know, if we don't turn our lives over to Jesus Christ, if we don't walk in faith, the grace is not something that we will receive. We will not receive grace if we live a sinful life, if we continue to sin, if we continue to do things that is not in the favor of God and expect the grace of God, we're lost, because that will never, ever happen. We have to understand that we have a responsibility as well. We can't earn grace, but we do have a responsibility in this as well. Three reminders of God's grace. Number one would be God's grace is not limited to our understanding of God's grace. Sometimes we feel like we should know what God's grace is. I've heard people say that they're going to take God with them in life wherever they go. Wherever they go, they're going to take God with them in life. Well, the sad news to that is you're not going to take God anywhere. God will direct you, but you will not take God anywhere. So God will direct you and God will work in your life. But sometimes we feel, and this is real personal for me, we feel in our lives that we're doing the right thing. We feel like we're doing something that we feel is what God wants us to do. And sometimes God wants us something totally different for us. And he's directed us in a different avenue. And we have to make sure that we go in the avenue God wants us to go in. We also need to understand that grace is available to everyone. You know, to say that grace is not available to individuals, we'd be no better than the Pharisees or the Sadducees. Grace is available to anyone who's willing to give their life over to Christ. And the third and final thing is in grace. Grace shows in our heart. When you see people change in their action, and you want to really see people and you want to see grace in life, you see people change in their actions and in their attitude, that's God's grace working in that individual. And it's being sent onto others, and they're able to see it. And Ben's going to come forward now and finish us up in our lesson.
God's grace can be abused, is what I'm going to talk about this morning. And as I look around here this morning, I see God's grace everywhere. And I can't help to say, but you know, I'm God's grace, and I feel abused this morning by Dan. I know he was sick, but he failed to call me last night and tell me about this. And I just found out about an hour ago. But I love Dan, and I don't blame him for it. But we do abuse the grace of God a lot. And I was just this morning, I was talking to the youth about time and how we use it. You know, God gives us the time to do things. And we find in our lives time to watch TV or to play with our friends or to work overtime. But we should use our time to be here this morning to worship God. We abuse that when we don't do that. Some in the first century has also abused the grace of God. They've turned the things that God has given us into lust and into want. We can find that in Jude 4. One way in which this was done is seen in Paul's epistle to the Romans. Sin has been in the world since the day of Adam. He brought sin in. All the way up till Moses, there was sin, but there was no law in place to show the sin. They knew it was there, but when the law of Moses came in, that's when the law came into effect. And God's grace, by sending his son Jesus into the world, has given us power over sin. So as we continue to sin, as we sin more and more, which we do, God's grace is abundant to us. In Romans 6, verse 1, it says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" Paul immediately answers his own question. He says, "God forbid," in verse 2. God's grace continues to be present today in such a fashion as to actually encourage the commission of sin. Instead of teaching men how to live in a right way, we seem to say how a Christian lives, what he says, his character or his conduct, or his attitude toward other people have nothing whatever to do with the salvation of his soul. And that's not true. How we live our life and the sin that is around us, God's grace does forgive us for that. Our salvation is a free gift from God to certain individuals, those who receive it. We exercise faith in order to be saved. But even our faith is also a gift to God. And in conclusion tonight, if there's anyone here today that is ready to receive God's grace of salvation and would like to walk with Jesus and to be baptized for the remission of your sins, now's the time to do it as we stand and as we sing.